Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Azarkan podcast as we talk about the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up in Sweden this coming festive season. You know, a few days ago, we chatted with Peter Labardius, a good friend of mine and an acquaintance of Paul's. And Pete had so many great, great stories about the World Junior Hockey Championships. Yeah, I think he's attended about 10, 12 of them. Never really as a fan, so you're lucky out there. You get to go as a fan. I'm sure he'd love to join us at some point. But anyway, we had a chance to talk to Peter about this event and some of his more favorite moments. And there's one moment that stands out for a lot of us.
They're trying to turn the lights off, and they turn them off.
One of the all-time great voices of sport in Canada, Don Whitman, calling that matchup in Piestani. We had talked about all these memories we've had about World Juniors in our history, but that one, I don't know if it takes the cake, but it's got to be right up there for you. I know it is for me and for Paul.
Well, I mean, and you'll never forget it. You know, I think it's one of those moments where I don't remember where I was or what I did after on every single one.
Yeah.
But I sure remember that one. And I remember being in Estevan at home, and I had to get to Yorkton later that day to do a game between the Bruins and the Yorkton Terriers. And, you know, we needed to win by 4 goals to win the gold medal. And it seemed pretty inevitable going in, although that Russian team was not what we'd come to expect in a lot of other tournaments. And we had them. We had them. I think we were going to win the gold medal. And it was getting rougher and rougher. And I just remember sitting in the basement in Estevan thinking, don't get sucked in. They have nothing on the line. We have everything on the line.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say it that way because I understand. I understand how it got there, why it got there. Frankly, it's what I miss about sports sometimes. Mm-hmm. There isn't that same kind of passion or dislike. I don't like to use the H word for an opponent anymore. It's different. And I miss it. I'm not going to lie. I miss it. But understand that times are different. Kids are different. People are different. And that's good in a lot of ways too. But yeah, you know, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget, you know, Brian Williams and Don Cherry getting into it. Yeah. Yeah. And I've been lucky enough to ask some guys who were in the game, like Theo, for example, about what actually really went on down there. And yeah, it was even more than we could have already thought or dreamed or imagined. But the other part of it for me, and I probably should have brought it up in the first part, but I can go to so many different places. In my top three all-time victories, if not number one, for Canada at the World Junior is January the 1st, 1988 in Moscow. Coming off of Piestani, we had a great team. Because we were disqualified the year before, we ended up, and so were the Russians, we played them, you know, like in game 5 of the tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, Theron Fleury scored the opening goal. Trevor Linden had one goal as a 17-year-old in that event. And it was the second goal. Mark Lanyell, with the eventual game winner, walked the blue line, scored. And we ended up winning the game 3-2. And that still, for me, might be my all-time one-game favorite World Junior win. And the checking job that Rob DeMaio, then of the Medicine-Hat Tigers, did on Alexander McGillney, guys, that was a day where if Alex went to the toilet and needed paper,
he'd hand it to him.
DeMaio was going to go into the room and hand it to him. It was one of the greatest checking jobs as a group I've ever seen.
And it would have been one ply, by the way, over there, just in case you're wondering. And rough. Yeah, and rough.
It would have been hand ply.
Okay, so if that is your big one, there's got to be two other ones that stick out for you that maybe we haven't touched on. Can you think of two other ones?
Single games?
Yeah.
Oof.
There was one in Ottawa. Jordan Eberle scored late. That was a remarkable comeback.
Again, I was on my way to Chicago that night. my great memory from that one, though, was we played the United States on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And it is one of it was a game that was never like it had everything. We trailed 3-0. For me, it was maybe the greatest game I've ever seen John Tavares play at any level, including the NHL. He completely took that game over at 3-0. We ended up winning it 7-5. It was incredible to be there for that one. I wasn't lucky enough to be there for the Eberle moment. So that one, that would be in my top 5 or 6 for sure. I don't know. You know, Brent, it's funny. It's so much about the events, and sometimes it's not even about the wins. You know, to watch our team win, the only game I got to see, or the only day I was at in 2006, was the bronze medal game and the gold medal game. And that Russian team in 2006, led by Malkin and others, like that was a powerhouse group.
Right.
And we were a very young team with a very young defense, Letang. Fortunately, Luc Bourdon not with us, Chris Russell, Mark Stahl, you know, Ryan Parent, go on down the line. And Steve Dowie put in a performance that night that I will never forget. And Justin Pogge in goal, you know, we beat them 5-0. The only reason we finished first in our pool in Vancouver is because the United States stumbled.
Yeah.
And on New Year's Eve, we scored into an empty net to beat them 4-3 because they had to have a win.
Yeah.
So anyway, we could do, as you can tell, we could do 7 shows well, on this topic.
Yes. And yeah, we could.
I'd probably not be out of words.
Well, the thing is, Peter, one of the things I wanted to touch on as well is the Soviet Union, Russia was Canada's biggest rival for many, many years. And there was no doubt that that's the team that had to be beat for us to get a gold medal. We've seen that transition over the last 2 decades, you know, even at the senior level with the Salt Lake City Olympics and the Vancouver Olympics, the golden goal by Crosby. We remember now the big matchups between Canada and the United States. And the United States are developing players at a massive rate now. They have so many players playing hockey right now at high levels, and their program has taken such a leap forward in the last 20 years. That dynamic between Canada and the United States now going into any international event is always going to be at the forefront, comparing the two teams' talent, comparing the goaltending, comparing the defense, comparing the coaching. What can you say about how that dynamic has changed and how the U.S. has now taken, you know, a spot at the top of the podium in terms of Canada's main competition?
Well, Paul, it's a great point, and there is no question about it. That is it. That's the rivalry. It's going to continue to be it. And I have to tell you, I've been terrified for about 10 years and actually think based on talent, the United States should have more world junior titles than they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
They are growing. As you guys know, they're getting better all the time. Unlike Canada. And my biggest concern for our country is we don't have a big country, and our sport in very many ways is becoming a very elitist game. It's always been a very elitist game in the United States, but it's growing. And they have a massive population base, and they're doing a lot of good things. So it's never been better. I feel terrible for hockey fans because I know that for the most part, people love best on best. With the absolute best, we've been robbed of it. We have not seen it since 2014. I do count the World Cup in part, but it was different.
Yeah.
And we have to, I think, for the good of the game, get back there. And the thing that really excites me but scares me is where that rivalry is going to go. But I think it has the potential in some ways to be on the men's side what it is on the women's side. I really do.
The other thing that I've noticed over the last few years is the amount of talent being developed by other countries that we don't think has superpowers. You know, you look at Nico Hischier going number one overall. He's Swiss. You look at Germany with Dreisaitl, Stützle, Seider. Austria, Rheinbacher drafted 5th overall last year by Montreal. Of course, we know Thomas Vanek before that, you know, was a great player in the NHL. Slovakia with top 2 picks in the draft, Slavkovsky and Nemitz. Yeah. And we played against them in their hometown with our youth teams, And when I saw those two kids, I'm like, those kids are going somewhere because they dominated that game. And even this coming year, we got a kid from Norway, Michael Brandtzæg Nygaard, who is now coming on the radar as one of the top players. I like to see that. I like to see that the other countries are growing, their programs are developing, and they're developing not good talent, but NHL all-star caliber talent now.
Paul, one of the biggest frustrations when I listen to people talk about the World Junior in our country is it is not our given right to win.
Right.
And one of the reasons it's, I would say it's funny. People I talk to, and I know I'm at the absolute extreme and have no trouble with that. But I think this tournament's never been better, and yet I don't think the interest level for it is what it used to be. When it gets down to the final four or six, as you guys know every year, like look at all the gold medal games, basically going all the way back to Calgary in 2012. It has been incredible. And it has not always, i.e. Russia and Finland in 2016, involved our country. In fact, a lot of times, you know, the incredible game that was played between the Finns and the Swedes for the 2014 title. Like it, you know, then we had that incredible game between Canada and the United States that we lost in Montreal in 2017. Like the gold medal game of this event for basically 11 or 12 years can't miss.
Yep.
And the final four, I know I was just at one. Three went to overtime.
Yep.
And then the other one was was when we beat the United States. So yes. And I love it. I love the fact that the Swedes are what they are. The Finns to me, and you guys would have a better feel for this. If you don't think Finnish people don't care about this game, you're out of your mind.
Well, Peter, we went to the 2014 and we went to 2016 and Finland won both. And those people are so wrapped up in hockey. Hockey's a top sport for them over there. There's no doubt about it.
No.
And doubt. And those players, you know, are so proud to represent that country. And you can never count them out of any tournament.
Ever.
You know, they have that thing called Sisu, which is that inner fortitude that they call. And they want to play hard every time they hit the ice.
They're awesome. They're awesome. Their work and their compete is what always allows them to give other teams a headache when they're not as talented. And as we know, going back to 2016, they were the most talented group. And when I think about, you know, the Czechs are going in a better place now.
Yeah.
You know, they won 2 years in a row in 2000 and 2001, and then didn't win a medal again until, you know, and could have easily won the gold medal. That was a tremendous team in Halifax. Hadn't even played for a medal since Grand Forks when they lost the bronze medal game or won the bronze medal game. That was their last medal in 2005, Peter Vrana in overtime, if I remember correctly. So I love it, Paul and Bryn. I love it. I love there's in a perfect world for me, there would be very little separation between 1 and 6 or 1 and 8.
Yeah.
Whether I'm here long enough, but I do know this. Life is usually about progression, not perfection. And we've seen incredible world progression in the sport. And personally, I can't at all levels. I can't get enough of it. I can't.
You brought up a great point. It is not our given right to win the gold medal every single year. It's just we're in the top elite category. A scout told me in one of the games when we were over there in 2020, he said, I don't view the gold medal game as a gold medal game because he said, as you just pointed out, Peter, the top six teams are so close. It's all a matter of perfection in terms of how you execute. He says, the gold medal game for me is a survival game. the two teams that survived to get here, then maybe they're not the best two teams, but they survived to get to that game for the opportunity to win the gold. It's what makes this a special event in a lot of ways. And you get a chance to see the kids play. You get a chance to see what's coming up for the National Hockey League or maybe some other great leagues. And, you know, we've watched this game at the Western Hockey League level, Alberta Junior Hockey League, all the other, you know, Manitoba, Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. It's a fun sport to watch, and it's a treat to watch this event because of the high caliber of play, and it's there's so many stories, man. We'd be here forever talking about these stories.
I know. 37 days straight, probably, with me.
Yeah. very quickly, you have left the broadcasting booth, and you are taking on a new challenge. We will only ask you a little bit about that.
Yeah.
What exactly are you doing? Like, I know it's a job that is, you're trying to define it currently, but just tell everybody what you're doing right now.
Well, I'm going to scout this year for the Calgary Flames. I'm being called a reserve list scout. I am just incredibly thankful and grateful for the challenge. To the people that I'm closest to, it's kind of like being given a 1-year scholarship to see, to see how it is and the learning. And that's what I'm most excited about. You know, I love sports with every ounce of my fiber. I usually go to well over 200 games a year, whether I'm calling them or not. And so, you know, I've been going to hockey school for 40 years. So let's find out if I actually know something about the game in a different way, shape, or form.
Can you believe what we just heard from Peter Labardius?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Excellent.
Hey, thanks for your time, man. It's always great chatting with
Fantastic.
You about. I love talking to you at the best of times.
We could do 2 hours with you, Peter, I think.
Yeah,
without a problem.
Absolutely. But to talk to you about junior hockey, which I know is a huge passion for you, and you are so plugged in, this was a blast, and thanks for your time today.
Guys, thanks so much. And Paul, an absolute pleasure to see you, meet you, and I can't wait to do it in person.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing better than talking about things you love to with people you love to do it with. That's when life is at its best. So thank you.
So there you go. Conversation with Peter Labardius, longtime broadcaster in this country, most notably with Sportsnet, both TV and radio. But he's done junior hockey play-by-play in a lot of different areas, and he obviously knows what he's talking about. You could tell just by that. Anyway, Paul, thanks. This has been a lot of fun today. We've kind of broken everything down for you. And don't forget to check out, of course, the website, which is azarkan.net, for more information on everything that's going on. And we'll have more updates coming up throughout the next couple of months as we inch just a little bit closer to the World Junior Hockey Championship, which is coming up in Sweden in December of this year.